Hi, and welcome back to another edition of the Sunstone Podcast. I'm your host, John Larson, and today I'm just recording an introduction to what is going to follow. When Lindsay contacted me and we started discussions on how we were going to approach the Sunstone Podcast, one thing that was a necessity from the beginning is we wanted to give voice and meaning to a lot of different voices. And as you've probably heard, if you've been paying attention, we're not just launching a podcast, we're launching a family of podcasts. We're launching this one that I host. We are working on another one that is more historically labor-intensive, that takes a deeper dive into some of those historic issues. And from the get-go, from the very first discussion, it was always our hope to find a way to give more voice and more meaning to women's perspectives. Of course, we come from a very patriarchal, male-dominated culture. And we all have the tendency to kind of fall into those modes. And it's really easy to have another white male who's lecturing you in a patriarchal fashion. And we really wanted to avoid that. But we didn't want to just put, you know, a woman into a male sort of dominated role. We wanted to really give women's voices a chance to explore issues on their terms and in their way. And that's not something that I can do. I am locked into my paradigm. And for all that I would like to be able to, I simply have to kind of take a back seat sometimes. And I do that happily, and I'm really pleased with what you're about to hear. Because to achieve real parity of the genders and to undo the damage that's been done by our culture and our American culture and plenty of cultures around the world to women and to women's views, we have to give voice to women the way that they want to speak. So this is going to be a different approach, but I think it's valuable for people like me and for other men out there and women out there who've been socialized in the culture we have to take a different view and a different view. I would invite folks to listen to this podcast because we're not just taking the female perspective and making it an auxiliary, which of course is how our culture literally labeled women's views and women's perspective as an auxiliary, as something that's secondary. No, in my view, this is equally as important and equally necessary. And it's a different approach. This podcast that we're going to be launching here does not talk about women's issues. Rather, it gives a female-centric perspective on the same issues of the day that I and everyone else is concerned about. Of course, because we come from a patriarchal society, I feel the necessity to say men's voices matter, but we've had thousands of years of that. We've had thousands of years of rule. And I think as I have contemplated the issue on how I can help, I've kind of moved away from just saying, well, I'm going to take a back seat and let women be in charge because my voice matters too. But what I have to do is I have to use my privilege and my means and the things that I have been given just because I'm a white male who grew up in this culture. I've had certain advantages, and what I need to do is take those advantages and push those to others. So no more of my voice. With no further ado, I'm pleased to introduce our latest and greatest project, and please, I invite you to give it your full ear and your full support. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lindsay Hanson Park, one of the co-hosts of the new Sunstone Fireside Podcast.
And this is Christina Rossetti, also co-host of the Sunstone Firesides Podcast.
For those who are listening or just tuning in for the first time, I am a regular podcast host. I have my own podcast called Year of Polygamy, The History of Polygamy, and Christina has been on a lot. And for some reason, we decided to start our own podcast together.
It's super exciting and super Mormon.
So let's talk about who we are and why we're doing this and why we need yet another Mormon podcast. And we're going to talk about this introductory podcast, the new Sunstone Fireside Podcast. But first, Christina, why don't you tell everyone who you are?
So I'm Christina. I'm a doctoral candidate at the University of California, Riverside, and I study Mormons. So I started off by just reading Rough Stone Rolling, and I ended living in Utah.
And I hate to keep pointing this out all the time, but you are not a Mormon, never have been a Mormon. Why are you with Mormons?
Have you ever met a Mormon? No, but in all seriousness, Mormonism was something that I started reading about it, and I just became so captivated by Joseph Smith and this idea of restoration. And to be honest, I grew up kind of believing in things, but not really. And then I met Mormons who have this world where heaven is open and people believe. And it was so unlike anything I had ever experienced. And I found Mormonism to be just such a great way to talk about other important issues. Now I live in Utah. But who, I mean, most people know you, Lindsay Hanson Park. Why are you here?
That's a great question, too. I'm the executive director of Sunstone, and we're going to talk about what Sunstone is because we know a lot of people listening to this for the first time won't know a lot about Sunstone, or maybe they've heard about Sunstone, but they don't quite know how they feel. You know, when I talk to people about Sunstone for the first time, they're like, yeah, I've heard of that. Isn't that thing? And then they can never articulate what it is. I am a Mormon, born and raised in the Salt Lake Valley.
But do you have Pioneer stock?
Oh, yes. My Utah Mormon bona fides are, yes. My Utah Mormon credentials are pretty solid. So I have Pioneer stock. I have convert stock. Is that a thing? Like I have on both sides. I have it all. I have like all the Mormon boxes for Utah Mormon. And I grew up, you know, as a member, having my mom and my grandma members of the Daughters of Utah Pioneers and learning that history. So I started a podcast on the history of plural marriage. And it's sort of taken off. And now I'm the executive director of Sunstone. And we decided we wanted to do a podcast. And let's talk about Sunstone first, and then let's talk about why the podcast. But Christina, when you tell me about the first time you heard about Sunstone.
So I actually heard about Sunstone from a historical standpoint of learning about what it was within the context of Mormon studies, which ends up being so funny now because I meet people at Sunstone or I talk to people about Sunstone and they're shocked to learn that Sunstone's been around since the 70s. People are like, oh, it's like in the last 5 years, we've had this thing that happens in Utah. But I learned about it as just part of the world of Mormon studies that in the 1970s, there were people that wanted a new and fresh and exciting way to talk about Mormonism that wasn't kind of sorry, not sorry, the drab way of talking about history that is so common in the world of religious history. And it was just an exciting time to be a member of the church and to be someone that studied the church. And so they started this magazine and I ended up really loving Sunstone because it was that. It offered a way to talk about topics that no one else was talking about. And it offered someone like me, who's an outsider, a space to even participate in Mormon studies.
Yeah, I feel similarly. So for those that don't know, I'm going to give you a brief rundown. Sunstone started in the late 1970s when a bunch of like Berkeley theological students got together and thought, hey, you know, I'm learning all these cool things about all these other religions. Why don't we have something in Mormonism where we can like get together and talk and sort of do a deep scholarly dive into our own faith and religion? So they did. They started this magazine. It's really great. They crowdfunded a Mormon history calendar that paid for the first issue of the magazine. Scott Kenny, Peggy Fletcher Stack, and Bob Reese and a few others were around for this. And they started publishing these great articles for this magazine. And it became sort of this cool like underground thing for scholars and students. And then they started doing conferences and symposiums. And it really took off. It was very vibrant in the 70s and 80s. And then those are sort of what we call the Camelot years in church history, where church historian Leonard Arrington was allowed to go into the church archives for the first time. He had a research assistant, Mike Quinn, and together they started, you know, digging through all of these really cool documents and artifacts of Mormonism and writing about them. The problem with that is at this time in church history, people didn't talk about the Seer Stone. They didn't talk about Joseph Smith and magic. They didn't talk about the things that are now published in the church essays, right? So it made people uncomfortable. It seemed very anti-Mormon because people had forgotten that. There was a century and a half of people that had never met Joseph Smith. and had never heard the stories of seer stones and things like that. So when these church historians were publishing it, it started making people uncomfortable, and especially the leadership. So there's, do you want to talk about the famous thing with Elder Packer and Mike Quinn?
So recently, a lot of people were really excited because Leonard Arrington's diaries came out, and he talks a lot about Sunstone, and he talks a lot about this time where the archives were being opened. But at this, and so it was really great because we got this insider look in what the church was talking about in terms of Mormon studies and in terms of scholarship and what people were interested in. And one of the things that we saw were certain members of the church, certain leaders in the church, like Elder Packer, who came out pretty forcefully that some facts aren't useful, and they're not useful because they're not faith promoting. And so a lot of scholars got stuck in this really challenging place of how to produce good academic scholarly work, but also be faith promoting. And unfortunately, that's not always possible. And there are obviously scholars that do it, but there was no real space for people to engage topics that weren't necessarily going to be great. The best example that I have is everyone got so angry about the writing that Brigham Young chewed tobacco, like rage in the church about that being included.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny to talk about it now because, of course, at Sunstone, you know, I've been with Sunstone over 5 years now, and there's just not really anything we don't talk about. So it's kind of silly now to think about how crazy it was that people, you just didn't talk about these things. And, you know, I talked about the Daughters of the Utah Pioneers. Kate Carter was, you know, one of the major founders, and she used to take old pioneer journals, and if there was something she didn't like or she felt like it made the church look bad, she would rip it up and throw it in the fire. And she, you know, this is just the attitude, is we didn't want to do anything that would harm the body of the church. And it's rooted in, you know, a century of Mormons feeling like they were being persecuted from outside forces. So it makes sense that they were protective of their own stories.
I have kind of a hot take about that. It hasn't changed a whole lot. And I know that's controversial to say, but, you know, I go to academic conferences all the time and I hear people talk about different religions. And this year, particularly in Catholic studies, a lot of scholars talked about, you guessed it, sex abuse. And I don't see the same kind of conversations happening in Mormon studies. I don't see the same kind of conversations happening in the historical department and how to talk about these issues that are really hard. And I think there has to be a space to do that. There has to be a healthy way to have these important conversations that are really rooted in history.
And that's a perfect segue into what happened to Mike Quinn and Leonard Arrington. As Packer started cracking down, he gave this famous talk at BYU, the mantle is far greater than the intellect or priesthood or something. And that's where he says some truths are not useful. Eventually, it ends up with D. Michael Quinn getting excommunicated for publishing the history of the church. And Sunstone became the only place where people would talk about that. And so if you would publish at Sunstone and talk about controversial things, you might get excommunicated. And that's what happened to several members of the September 6th, the six people who were excommunicated in September of 1993. And then Sunstone sort of becomes this forum where people are upset because they have been censored and feel sanctioned by the church. And there was really nowhere else to talk about it. So they talked about, you know, it at Sunstone. And unfortunately, I see it as a very immature attitude. And I mean that in the very sense of the word, like Mormons and Mormon scholars too, hadn't ever dealt with this sort of conflict before at this level. And so what most academics did was follow the leadership and say, oh, well, since it must be bad now, rather than seeing it as like a natural course and sort of a necessary grieving process of having your voices silenced, it became sort of cool. It became sort of popular to throw Sunstone under the bus as, oh, well, that's just the weird fringe thing. And I still see that attitude. A lot of scholars say, oh, we're doing really important work, but we would never go to Sunstone. And yet every single important scholar that has contributed to Mormonism has been influenced, impacted, or been through the doors of Sunstone. And so I just, when I came to it 5 years ago, it was sort of dying. It was the same old, you know, same loyal group of people that had been going through the 70s. And a lot of people didn't know about it. They'd either heard it was bad or good, but they didn't even know why. It was sort of just this nebulous thing. And other, like, younger scholars of my generation just sort of grandfathered in the attitudes of scholars before them. Oh, Sunstone, you know, it's just not a place for me. It's not scholarly enough, or it's not interesting enough. But what we've come to learn is Mormons, even the smart ones, don't care what you believe, they care how you say it. And respectability politics is a big issue in Mormonism. Identity politics is a big issue, and I call it faith politics. It's this idea of you can say something about Mormonism, but we want you to say it as sweetly and as coded as possible. And I don't care how smart you are, this is not done. It's not done in other religious traditions in the way that it's done here, because scholars, if they're honest about it, are really still scared of being disloyal to the institution. And I think that sometimes that attitude, that fear, that loyalty trumps their work. And that's unfortunate, because as Christina and I know, we deal with a lot of fundamentalists. If you are too apologetic in any argument for any reason, there will be people that will take your research and run with it. And that's why we have all these different fundamentalist sects that will take an argument that, say, you know, a scholar was trying to make about polygamy and sort of justifying why the church did it, and they will use that. So yeah, so that's Sunstone. Sunstone has kind of had this negative attitude since it has been a forum for people that felt like they were voiceless. So when I got here, I just thought, oh, we'll just, you know, invite more faithful people to come to Sunstone because people perceive it as too critical. And so I started reaching out to faithful scholars, having lunches with them, having conversations with them, and they would all say, you know, we like Sunstone, but we can't come there. And I just thought, well, what are we supposed to do now? We can't have faithful people come. And then I realized that for 40 years, Sunstone, people have depended on Sunstone to be the fringe, to sort of break through the controversy and take the heat. So it would be safer for them to position themselves with to take risks. So, you know, dialogue could be scholarly and they could take risks, but at least they weren't Sunstone. And the Maxwell Institute could take risks, but at least they weren't dialogue or Sunstone. And then, you know, all these other conferences that sort of popped up could take risks, but at least they weren't Sunstone. And I've seen, you know, people try to make Sunstone more faithful and try to cater to that. And it just hit me, that's never going to happen. We're never going to get the acceptance of someone because they need us here.
The millennium's coming. It could happen.
Miracles. So I'm just not interested in directing this organization to be something that we're not. And I would challenge this idea that Sunstone being fringe is a bad thing. We have had an opportunity to highlight, it's an open forum now, and we invite all different kinds of voices. We actually have flexibility a lot of faithful scholars do not have. We can invite whoever. And because of that, we've been able to cross-pollinate ideas. And I think Sunstone has led the way in the margins in progressive Mormonism. We were the first a couple of years ago to start really trying to actively incorporate voices of color, voices from the margins. And that allowed other organizations to follow suit. And that's a bold claim, and people will say, no, 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 no. But I will trace back the scholars to Sunstone. We did that. And because of that, people like Fatima Saleh came and she preached about theology from the margins. And she really did this great sermon that got her a lot of attention, and people started paying attention after she gave it. And she talks about the best theology, the best of God, the best of Jesus is in the margins. It's in the fringes. And, you know, when you think about the stories of Jesus, when he's walking through the streets and people are touching his robes, they're touching the fringes. This was a Jewish thing. They had fringe. There was healing in the fringes. And that's what we're doing at Sunstone. So if you say, oh, Sunstone's too, you know, too strange or too fringy, great. That's exactly where we want to be. We're not ashamed of that. And in fact, I would kind of flip it and say, you know, maybe you should look at your views of why you don't want to be with the fringes. There's something there.
And in a lot of ways for doing that, Sunstone was really ahead of its time. So right now in Mormon studies, there's this really big emphasis on women in Mormon studies and not having mantles and not having just panels of white people talking about the experience of people of color. And if you look at the history of Sunstone, Sunstone was doing that before it was cool and before you had to survive. If you look back at the 1970s and 80s, Sunstone brought Mormon women to talk about their research in a time when, because they didn't have, quote, credentials, they couldn't talk about their work. Even though their work was valid and hugely significant for the field, they couldn't talk about it. They couldn't go to the Mormon History Association. They couldn't go to the Utah Historical Association. They couldn't go to the American Academy of Religion. And Sunstone gave a place for people who were doing incredible work, making great headway in Mormon studies and in the world of Mormonism generally, a place. It gave them a voice and a space to do that. And now that's something that you have to do, or your organization is kind of looked down upon. But Sunstone has been doing that for a long time and has been giving people who were considered fringe a place at the table. And so I think that's really significant. But the other thing I want to say is that Sunstone is special in another way, in that it's the only thing like it. If you go to other religious traditions that are doing academic and scholarly work, they don't have an equivalent. In my own tradition, I've been talking to people about, do we have something like this? And everyone's like, oh no, we don't talk to independent Catholics. We don't talk to ecumenical Catholics. We don't talk to Utrecht Catholics. There's no place to get a bunch of people together with different and diverse opinions to have a conversation.
Yeah. And just to the fringes thing that we're talking about, Sunstone was the first forum in Utah to openly talk about LGBT issues and AIDS, HIV and AIDS in the 80s. And it was very controversial. They got a lot of flack for it. And so the flack that they get for sort of busting open the doors still remains. And that makes sense because even myself, who has been unpacking my own Mormon identity for the last 10 years, I still get tripped up in it. And I see this all the time with good historians, good scholars. They still can't escape their own Mormon biases. And that's fine. That's fine. What we're asking you to do at Sunstone now is live authentically in your Mormonism wherever it is. And that's kind of how we got around this idea of Sunstone being too faithful or too critical of the church. Because the opposite side is there are ex-Mormons who still believe that Sunstone is too faithful, that you have to be Mormon to come, that you have to be faithful to come. And I have seen those identity politics, who's in, who's out, who's faithful, who's not faithful, hurts and harms so many people, countless people. A lot of the work that I've been doing is in the faith crisis community. And I'm telling you, it's a toxic and harmful way to do things. And we all participate in it. And we can't get away from it. And if you're listening to this and you're a Mormon, I guarantee you've been part of the problem. And we want to be part of the solution.
And one of the things that I personally really loved the first time I went to Sunstone, the first time I presented at Sunstone, was Sunstone gave me a space to experiment with ideas. And it gave me permission to be wrong in a way that was comfortable, that I could have hard ideas. I could listen to people's challenging ideas and I could be wrong about them in a way that was safe. I could have dialogue about why they were wrong. And I could learn about that in a way that you don't get safe places to be wrong very often. And Sunstone is a safe place to be wrong.
And to that end, you know, we're talking about these sort of this like idealistic Sunstone as if it's been perfect all this time.
It has been.
It's been translated and now we're left with the lower law version. No, Sunstone's had plenty of problems. I mean, Sunstone's had many problems. Sunstone is messy because we're dealing with the fringe. We're dealing with the mess. And so it has made many mistakes and many missteps as an organization. And a lot of the speakers that we've hosted and have come and gone and made a lot of mistakes. But again, that's honest. I mean, mess is honest. And there's this culture also in Mormonism where we have to put on our best face. We talked about this, right? At the beginning of the podcast, like make it seem good, burn all the history that doesn't look good, or we don't talk about it. And there's not a lot of tools in Mormonism to allow people to embrace their mess. But if you look at Mormon history, if you look at Mormonism, it is so messy. I mean, the days of the church were kind of a big disaster. It was chaos a lot. And in the chaos is where some really beautiful things are created. That's where art is created. Art comes out of chaos. It comes out of pain. And creativity is fueled by change and sort of the arc of creation, which is a huge theme in Mormonism, comes from destruction. And Sunstone has embraced that. And so I think I'm just putting a call out, putting people on notice who have been so self-righteous about it as a way to feel more secure in their own faith and in their own Mormonism. And if that's something that you still need to do, if you need to hold on this attitude that, you know, you need to somehow position yourself apart from Sunstone, I get it. I mean, I've been in this community enough to know the politics and I know the risks. And if you need to do that because you need that security in your own faith identity, that's great. But what we decided to do to get away from this too faithful and not faithful is just open the doors to Sunstone to all different kinds of Mormon experiences. So is Sunstone a place for Mormons? Yes. Is it a place for non-Mormons? Yes. Is it a place for ex-Mormons? Yes. Is it a place for the fringe? Yes, because that's real and that's honest. And that approach has really, really taken off. So in the last 5 years, we've really grown. We outgrew our venue at the University of Utah. We have a big conference at the end of the summer and we outgrew it last year and we had to go to the Southtown Expo Center, which we're going to do again this year, July 31st through August 3rd. And we have all different kinds of Mormons. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, we don't care what you believe. We just want you to be able to have a thoughtful discussion with other people about it. And so Sunstone is aiming to be a sort of secular, dispassionate place where we can talk about Mormonism in a secular, dispassionate way. Mormons don't know how to do that. Ex-Mormons don't know how to do that. Faithful Mormons don't know how to do that. And they're all still part of that same struggle. And we're saying, let's throw out those identity politics and instead you show up at Sunstone in your Mormonism, whatever it looks like. I believe strongly that ex-Mormons are a valid Mormon path. If you look at the history of Mormonism, that's a very valid and very common Mormon choice. Yeah.
And it's very Mormon. It's some of the most Mormon Mormonism.
Yeah. When people have a faith crisis, they do it in a very Mormon way. There's just some things in our identity that entangle us to Mormonism forever. And I will say one of the flaws of Sunstone is it is still very Utah Mormon, very American Mormon centric. And we're working on that. We have regional conferences where we've gone to Europe a few times, and we're going to Australia this year. And we've been trying to plan something in Central America because, of course, the church is growing, largely in the global South. And that's just a place that Sunstone really hasn't influenced. It's usually white scholars or American scholars talking about the global South. And so one thing that we're really making an effort to do is provide scholarships and, funding for people from the global South to come and share their voice here, because I truly believe that the best of this faith, the best of this history comes from the margins and the voices that we aren't hearing. And that's who we should be paying attention to. So that's kind of, go ahead.
I have a weird Sunstone story that is actually a hard story to tell, because I usually like to think of myself as someone that, is so accepting and loves people and is great at ecumenicism and building bridges. But the most Sunstone story for me actually happened this year. And Lindsay had a priest come to Sunstone. And he, really great guy, a Catholic priest. Not, how old are priests in Mormonism? 14. Not a 14-year-old Mormon, but a priest, a Catholic priest. And during a dinner for new attendees, Lindsay was like, "Christina, here's a priest," and introduced me to this man. And I looked at his collar and I didn't say it, but in my mind I said, "He's not a priest," because he's not Roman Catholic. He's part of the Ecumenical Catholic Church, which are apostates. And I felt I felt pretty strongly about that. I was like, his authority isn't real and he's not a real priest and he's not valid. And what does this mean? And I sat there and I came to this realization that I really like apostates when they're not mine. And that was a really hard thing to realize, because I kind of value the fact that I hang out with, quote, apostate Mormons. And I had to sit in that for a minute, and I eventually went and talked to him, kind of told him about my feelings, and there's no ecumenical Catholic church in Utah, so I can't go and kind of learn from this community. But it really put in perspective two things that I've always taught my students. I tell my students every year that the greatest things you can do for yourself are do hard things and hang out with people that aren't like you. And Sunstone taught me that in a really real way, that the greatest thing you can do to stretch yourself, to learn, and to be a better human is to hang out with people that aren't like you, and to suspend your disbelief when you do that. Not to go into it and say, "I know better," but to suspend your disbelief and suspend your judgment and really learn from people. And Sunstone fosters a space unlike any other where you can do that, where you can sit in uncomfortability and learn from people that aren't like you and grow from those experiences.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And, my work with my podcast, Year of Polygamy and Fundamentalists, has really opened me up to this idea, because I've had to confront my own faith traditions, apostates, right? Polygamists, fundamentalists. And now that I've spent years working with them and becoming family with some of these folks, a lot of my best friends are ex-FLDS people who are just trying to make sense of their worldview after it's been shattered. It's been interesting to see the judgment that has come from me doing that. People will say that I'm in the pockets of the FLDS or something, or
they're really deep pockets.
There's not a lot of money in fundamentalism. Most fundamentalist groups are double wide trailers in the middle of the desert. So you've got to understand that I had so many misconceptions about my own apostates, my own fringes. And I'm just trying to practice what I preach, because I've seen how that rhetoric, how the other rhetoric that is so pervasive in Mormonism, and especially in progressive Mormonism, where everyone thinks that they're better, but they're not, That's where I've seen how those judgments keep people oppressed. It keeps them, you know, stuck in places that are harmful to them. It prevents people from getting resources. And I don't have the stomach for it anymore after what I've seen. And so what we do at Sunstone is we invite everyone from all over the restoration. We have, obviously, like Christina, non-Mormons who study Mormonism or who are interested in it. We have people that have left the church years ago, people that are just leaving the church, people that are faithful. We have bishops and stake presidents. I'll just give you an example. Our hallway at our conference this year, we had the FLDS. They were selling a table of honey and jam, and people are like, why would you give them a platform? Because it's feeding their church. It's like, no, these people are starving because their prophet isn't taking care of them. They're making money. And you get to meet them and see them as humans. And then right next to them was Desert Books table, you know, advertising for the Jane and Emma movie. And then we had Ordained Women, who was a, you know, controversial activist group for asking for women's ordination. And then we had Mormon artists selling their crafts and, you know, people selling seer stones or artwork that they've done, quilting, canned goods. To me, that is where the heart of Zion is. It's being able to hang out with people that you don't understand and are challenged by, and you're still able to make space for that. And so that's what we're doing. And I think that that's really taking off. So let's talk about why another podcast, because there are thousands of Mormon podcasts. Now, when I first started podcasting, there were just really a few in the game. And I don't know if that's why mine became so popular, but there are a lot of podcasts now. And why another one, Christina?
So one of the things that I learned really early on is one person can't cover everything. It's so hard to be a historian, to be an anthropologist, and to try to decide you're going to cover the entirety of a religion. You can't do that. There's no one that studies all of the Hindus. Like, that's not a thing. You can't do that. And so one of the things that I've seen is that people, especially Mormon studies, which is a really new field, and in Mormonism generally, which is so big, is it's so hard to cover everything, and everything gets very little attention rather than have a few things get really deep attention. And so there had to be a way to have all the diversity of Mormonism covered, but you can't do that with one person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also say something that I learned, I brought up Fatima Saleh before. She helped us sort of shape and craft this podcast. She gave us a lot of advice and direction on this. She's been so influential in my work when she gave this sermon at Sunstone. And one of the things she said was to remember that there's an abundance. In Mormonism, we act out of scarcity. And I think Mormons have always acted out of scarcity, unfortunately, ever since, you know, they came to Utah and they were starving in the desert. It's something baked into our doctrine, theology, and culture. And I think it's part of human nature too, but we're always thinking that there are finite resources, there aren't enough. And Fatima taught me that there's abundance, you know, God is abundance, love is abundance, information is abundance. And so I have chosen to, as a practice, act out of abundance wherever I can and not out of scarcity. And so what Sunstone is really good at is one of the purposes of an open forum is to highlight the best of Mormon scholars, artists, poets, musicians, thinkers, and we are doing that. So we give platform to all of those things. And we wanted to have a podcast that did that. We already have a few podcasts in our podcast suite. We have John Larson, who is a very popular radio voice, who's coming back to do interviews in a way that speaks to a certain demographic of people. And then we have Stephen Carter, who is our magazine editor, who is taking the old Sunstone magazine and making it sort of an Audible type quality. And that's great, but it's very male-centric, very white male-centric. And so we wanted to expand the voices and practice what we preach. So this is the Sunstone Fireside Podcast, and I realize it's just Christina and I introducing it, who we're both white women. But why don't we talk a little bit about the host, Christina? Because what the format of this podcast is, we've decided to do something kind of revolutionary. First of all, in podcasting, there's no money in podcasting, contrary to what you believe. It's expensive to run a podcast. It's very time-consuming. And we wanted to make sure we were doing something in a sustainable way. One of the problems in Mormonism, and in ex-Mormonism too, is that everyone gives their times and talents for free, and then they feel resentful about it. And so we have a lot of good volunteers that will help and get really excited for about 3 months, and then they'll disappear. And we wanted something sustainable. So we we decided to get 8 hosts who were all female identifying hosts across all the different spectrums that we could reach. And that's what we're going to do. And we're still working on getting, I have a host from Central America who I'm still working on. So I can't confirm that yet, but I'm going to let Christina just sort of announce some of the hosts. And again, the purpose of this is to cover this Mormon spectrum. Can we cover everything? No. But what we're going to do is we're going to pay the host. Our hosts will be paid, which will mean that you listening will need to make a contribution to make sure these women will get paid for their work. That's very important to us. They'll get paid for each interview, and they get to interview whoever they want about whatever they want as it pertains to a Mormon audience. So we can't promise what the content is because we are leaving that up to those, all of these different hosts to decide, because they're going to think of things that I would never think of.
And I think this goes back to what you were saying about scarcity, because there are incredible people that have great skill at individual things that not everyone else knows well. So if you are wanting to talk about Mormon polygamy, you can't do it without referencing Lindsay's work. If you want to talk about polygamy, Lindsay's the person. If I want to talk about things like the law and feminism, Kate Kelly is someone that you would absolutely have to turn to. If I wanted to talk about on the ground, what it looks like to help fundamentalist communities that are trying to become a healthier space, Shirley Draper is someone who is doing the work on the ground. And these are women that we can learn from, and because I can't do all those things. Like, I can't talk about what it means to help a fundamentalist community and talk about polygamy and talk about Mormon transhumanism and talk about queer issues. I can't do all of that, but there's women who can, and giving and amplifying the voices of those people directly goes against those scarcity politics that happen all the time, not only in Mormon spaces, but in women's spaces. And those are some of our hosts.
Yeah, so I'm going to name some of the hosts, but just to back that up, I mean, it's really important that we are practicing what we preach here. I am not going to pretend that we're going to do this well or perfectly.
Speak for yourself. I'm going to be 100% perfect all the time.
Well, the Catholics have been around a lot longer, so they've got more figured out. But we have a slew of hosts, and I'm going to tell you a few of them just so you kind of get the idea of what we're doing. We have Kalani Tonga, who is a co-blogger of mine from the Feminist Mormon Housewives days. She is an amazing Mormon woman, faithful, active Mormon woman who is Pacifica, and her perspectives are phenomenal. So she is going to be doing some interviews. We have Malia Haltzvet, who is a Hawaiian ex-Mormon, who is going to bring the ex-Mormon perspective. She's a social worker in Billings, Montana. We have Blair Osler, who is a queer Mormon woman, faithful Mormon woman, and a Mormon transhumanist. And she's brilliant. She's a philosopher and a writer and a poet and an artist. So she's going to be part of the podcast. Kimberly Anderson, she's the founder of the Mama Dragon Story Project, and she's part of the Mama Dragons. And she has a lot of intersections with the intersex and transgender communities. And then we have Shirley Draper, who was born and raised in Colorado City, Arizona. She left the FLDS, and she's one of the few people who I trust implicitly to do like good, solid work with fundamentalists, because she has lived it. She went on to get her master's degree in social work. She's bringing actual resources and services to her community to help her community. And the way she organizes is so inspirational and influential to me. And then we have a few other hosts that we're not going to announce yet because we're still working on that. But you can kind of get an idea for what we're going for. We're trying to get perspectives that we wouldn't have. Now, just because they're female identifying hosts does not mean that this is a podcast just for women to listen to. And in fact, if you're hearing this and you're hearing women's voices and you think, that doesn't sound like it's going to appeal to me, I would, you know, maybe encourage you to explore that and get curious about why listening to female voices would make you uncomfortable. And again, Sunstone has plenty of male voices that you can listen to. We have other podcasts, but this is the project. And so what we're going to need from you, is your support. We're going to need your financial support. You can donate to our GoFundMe, which is linked on this podcast, the Sunstone GoFundMe. You can donate to Sunstone. You can become a subscriber. Help us do this right. Help us build this project in a sustainable way. We need your help to do this, to get these women paid. And what's going to happen is Christina and I are doing this teaser. We're going to then let some of our hosts interview each other. And then they have some amazing, incredible interviews already lined up where I guarantee you're going to get a deep dive into ideas and information that you had never even considered before.
Yeah, just to reiterate what you were saying, that this is kind of the mission of Sunstone encapsulated, that it's diverse people bringing diverse voices to the table and doing it in a way that's sustainable and that compensates women for their work. This is Sunstone doing the mission of Sunstone in a tangible, practical way and in a way that you can be part of.
And again, as an organization, we are not, we have no creative control over the content that these hosts are going to do. We've allowed them to have free creative control. The only thing that's going to stay the same is we're going to have the same music and intro, and we're picking Mormon artists to use their music so we can highlight and amplify their work as well. And we plan to have activities, conferences and events planned around this podcast for people to get involved. We're going to do some Google Hangouts sometimes, where you can talk to the hosts and have sort of intimate discussions like a fireside. The idea is that firesides were, fireside chats were something from the 1930s that, Lowell Bunyan helped create. And we are going to release these in the evening with the idea that you can listen to this as maybe in your Mormon home as your Mormon kids are going to bed, or if after you've gotten home from a long day of work and you fed your dogs or your cats and you sit around, and take off your shoes and get under a blanket and get your cup of herbal tea, cold herbal tea, however you interpret the word of wisdom. And you can listen to these really inspirational chats that are going to be very diverse and cover a wide spectrum of people. So that's what the Sunstone Fireside Podcast is.
Did you go to a lot of firesides growing up?
I did. I actually really valued that. I mean, they used to do this. I'm trying to think of what it was called. There was a name of it where they would send speakers to your ward house and they would come at night. There was a name for it and I can't recall it at the time. I used to go with my mom and I would just drink it in because it was the gospel, but with the meat, right? And that's why we chose women who are going to bring the sort of depth that I feel like sometimes we don't always get in the Mormon discussion, which I think is in line with the Sunstone podcast. And again, if it's too fringe for you, that's fine. You can go choose a faithful thing and, you know, be safely secure in a space that is comfortable for you. Being challenged and being, you know, introduced to ideas that are uncomfortable is not something people always want to do in their spare time. So don't do that. But if you want growth, if you want to be challenged, that's an invitation to come to our firesides. We hope that it will be an atmosphere and a tone that will sort of not only amplify new ideas, but enrich everybody who's involved.
I've only seen two different I've seen Al Fox's fireside four times. She's the tattooed Mormon. I've seen it four times in Utah. I also saw one with like my friend from high school. His grandpa's a temple president. Hi, Alan. It was great meeting your grandfather. And he did a fireside and it was, you know, it was fine, but the tattooed Mormon, if you haven't seen her fireside, it won't be like ours.
And that's okay. Yeah, our firesides are going to be audio, but maybe we'll do some in person too. So again, thank you for listening and giving a chance to this. We hope that you'll enjoy the episodes that we're going to be putting out at sunstone.org. You can click on the podcast tab and please donate to Sunstone. Even if it's just, you know, your lunch money, $5 will go a long way for us. Become a monthly subscriber. That's really helpful. Or if you have the means to give a large chunk of money, we're really not asking a lot to fund this podcast. This podcast's goal is going to be $8,000 for the year, which is not a lot. But if you have the means to give us $8,000, you want to sponsor this, that would be fantastic. And then we can get you more content and get these hosts paid. So everyone, thanks for listening and we look forward to more content.
Thanks. Make sure to come to Sunstone this year.